This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a wave.
Surfing!
Give me a city tour.
The trolley!
Give me animals.
The zoo!
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park!
Give me a woo!
Roller coaster!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Savor Production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about biscotti.
Yes. Is there any reason you were thinking about this one?
Okay. This is a little bit of a long way around. But so Mother's Day is coming up. And so I was thinking about like what are some dishes that remind me of mother figures in my life? And my Jewish grandmother, Gloria, was kind of famous around the family for making mandelbrot. Mandelbrot being a very biscotti-like, it's German for almond bread, and it's a very biscotti-like cookie. And so I was kind of looking into mandelbrot, and I was like, you know, we should just do biscotti. And so here we are.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a type of cookie that I have deep nostalgia for. She made just really good ones and would make them in these huge batches, which is kind of what you do when you're making them. And people would like relatives would like low key fight over like who got a bag from the batch and like if they were running low, like Gloria, are you going to make more? And it was sort of a whole thing.
Yeah. I love it. I love it when that happens, where there's like a dish.
Yeah.
Someone makes and you're just, oh, I only get it this one time. I hope I can get secure my stash.
Yeah.
I don't have too much experience with biscotti.
Okay.
Yeah.
never like at a cafe, like sitting there with an espresso, like having a biscotti? No?
I mean, like, maybe once. I've had it. Like, I've definitely had it. I just don't have that much experience with it. We did an episode on Madeleines.
Sure.
I think it had that twinge in the pronunciation there that I did not do correctly. But so that kind of reminds me of this one. And I mean, yeah, for better or worse, most of my memories with biscotti are at cafes, and Starbucks being one of them.
Sure, it's a large chain of cafes in the United States and elsewhere. Yeah. So that makes sense. Yes. It tracks.
It does. It does indeed. But I know people are really, really fond of them. I loved reading about all the flavors in this one. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have a very narrow experience of biscotti in general. It's like mostly the like pure almond crunchy kind, like the mandelbrot that I grew up with. But also like maybe a little bit of anise in there. Maybe some chocolate dipping action going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I tend to not order them especially if they're prepackaged at a cafe kind of situation, which is mostly where I do see them, because I'm like, I'm going to be disappointed in this. It's not going to be my grandma's. I'm going to be mad. I've never tried to make her recipe. She like held off on giving it to me for really an insultingly long time. But yeah. So, and I did see a lot of recipes as I was doing this reading that I was like, oh, that was probably about what that is. Yeah. So anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Maybe.
Maybe. But in the meantime, I guess that brings us to our question.
Sure.
Biscotti. What are they?
Well, biscotti, as we are using the word in American English, are a type of cookie that is twice baked, first in a loaf and then in like thick crescent-shaped slices, making it a crunchy cookie treat. They are typically lightly sweetened and flavored and studded with nuts like almonds, pistachios, or sesame, maybe a little bit of vanilla thrown in there. They can contain other mix-ins like chocolate chips or dried fruit or cocoa powder, or maybe partially dipped in chocolate or like spangled with icing, something like that. Ideally, the dough isn't really crispy like toast, but more like crunchy, like a good granola, all right? Like firm enough to stand up to being dunked in coffee or sweet wine. But when you chew it, it's rich and like almost melty, with contrasting buttery crunch from the nuts. Maybe some crisp around the edges, sure. It's like if a digestive biscuit wanted you to have a better time. If y'all aren't familiar with digestive biscuits, picture like a kind of bland graham cracker. Biscotti's like it's firm but comforting, like a good grandmama.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The word biscotti comes from the roots twice cooked biscotti. And what you're looking to do is to basically bake like one big cookie and then slice that into strips and bake those separate mini cookies again to like really firm them up and draw out the moisture. Traditionally, you're using limited to zero butter or oil to make these cookies. The fat is going to come from the addition of eggs and egg yolks. And this explains how you can get this like rich, dense, crunchy but not crispy crumb to the cookies. These days, a little bit of leavener, like baking powder, is added for a little bit more lift. Of course, though, there are lots of different riffs on this recipe, plenty of parallel types of cookies out there in the world. Many do use some kind of vegetable oil or butter to create like a softer or more tender or more crumbly or crispier texture, just depending on what you're going for. Fun linguistic confusion in this one. From what I understand, in like modern Italian, biscotto being the singular or biscotti is like a more generic term for any type of cookie, similar to how you get biscuit in British English. Yeah. And also in Italian, biscotto appears in phrases that describe savory baked goods like crackers or twice baked breads. So, if you are looking for what we Americans call biscotti in some kind of like Italian language circumstance, the term for these cookies is going to be cantucci, plural, or cantuccio, singular. Or maybe you're even going to look for the diminutive cantuccini, meaning like little cantucci. Yeah. Canto, literally meaning corner. But in this case, indicating like a crust or like a little bit of bread. Yeah. That kind of mm-hmm. connotation. So yeah.
Okay.
Cantucci. And there are all kinds of flavorings that can go into these things. Whole or perhaps rough chopped almonds and almond extract is perhaps the most traditional. But pistachio, pine nuts, and sesame are also common, or other stuff like hazelnuts or walnuts, Or citrus juice or zest, raisins or chopped dried fruit like apricots or chocolate bits or coconut, spices like ginger or anise or fennel or cinnamon or allspice, vanilla or cocoa powder or coffee or sweet wine. I don't know, toffee chips, peanut butter chips, funfetti.
Whoa. That's quite a list.
I mean, if you can put it in a cookie, then go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They are often served alongside like an after-dinner coffee drink or tea or a dessert wine like Vinsanto, like meant to be dipped into that liquid. Mm-hmm. They're also real good for crumbling on top of other desserts or for like layering into a soaked type dessert, like a trifle. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I will say that in American usage, biscotti is also a flavor now and a color. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen candy that's biscotti flavored.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah,
made my eyebrow arch.
Like, yeah. Oh,
interesting. All right. Well, what about the nutrition?
It depends on how you make them. But these treats can have like a decent punch of protein and good fats from the nuts. And they're often not as sugary or fatty as other types of cookies. It's still a treat, you know, but treats are nice. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Big fans of treats.
Mm-hmm.
we have a couple of numbers for you.
Okay. I couldn't like super corroborate this data, but apparently the Cantucci market in Tuscany, where many of the traditions around this cookie originated, the market there is worth over 30 million euros a year.
Oh,
brisk cookie market. Love it. and according to the same source, about 63% of Cantucci biscotti consumption takes place in Italy.
Oh, well, I would love for listeners to write in about this. Kind of the culture of biscotti consumption.
Oh, yeah. And if you have more linguistic notes, I would love to hear them. Yeah.
Always.
This is all hearsay on my part. I mean, technically, I guess everything that we ever report is hearsay, but some of it is
all
like
hearsay.
it's read say. Yeah. It's.
Yes. Yes. Research say. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we're counting on you as always. And if you've got a favorite like flavor or recipe, that'd be cool too.
Yes,
but we do have quite the history for you.
We do, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, yes, things like cookies, breads, and cakes, though not as soft and fluffy as we know them today, go way, way back. Uh-huh. We've talked about them in several episodes. Uh-huh. I feel like I can't remember which one it was, but I know we've talked about an almond-based, like almond flour-based dessert already.
Yeah, recently. And this isn't usually almond flour. This is usually wheat flour with added almonds.
That might be why my brain is so, like, I feel like we've talked about this. It's like that, like, every episode.
It is. Though, it is. To be fair. Yeah.
Yes. But, okay, a big part of this particular history comes down to, yeah, that kind of baking things twice so that they will keep. Some sources suggest that the ancient Romans figured that out, that twice baking bread would make it last longer. This is sort of one of those things where I, again, feel like a bunch of people probably figured that out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I, you know, even if we might not have known for a couple thousand years that the reason is that when you limit moisture, that limits the ability of microbes to grow in a medium like your bread. So you might want to, yeah, so doing that can preserve it for a little bit longer. But, yeah.
Yes, yes. But that was a big piece of this, was that it kept longer. So the story goes that the first biscotti were first made in the Tuscany city of Prato in the 14th century, and they were often called biscotti di Prato. And they were primarily made of almonds because almonds grew very well in that region. Mm-hmm.
They were also one of the products that was starting to use refined sugar, which was beginning to grow in availability and popularity in Europe at the time.
Right. And as mentioned, they were prized at this point because of the way they were baked. It made them somewhat resistant to mold. It also made them pretty hard and sturdy so that they could travel well. They could last on longer journeys. And even just for regular people, not on long journeys, like they just lasted longer.
Yeah.
And it cracks me up how often sailors come up in these stories. But it was like a big thing. People had to figure out, how can we make this food last?
Yeah, how do we feed a sailor? How do we, right, yeah.
Exactly. And again, hearsay, readsay, research say, sailors came to prefer these sturdy biscuits. And several sources reported that they went on to inspire other similar things, like British hardtack, which was a hard biscuit made with salt, flour, and water, and then baked twice, and Germany's twice-baked sweetbread, Zwieback. I hope I'm not butchering that. But yes, twice baked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And while that was going on, biscotti was being adapted throughout Italy using ingredients like pistachio and sesame seed, just whatever was around. In some regions, people did give biscotti a different name, which adds to the confusion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. We love it.
Always. By the mid-1500s or so, biscotti, I think minus almonds, became popular in the Medici court. And then, sometime in the 1600s-ish, fancier types of English trifles were being made with biscotti-type cookies soaked in sherry-like wine and then topped with custard and syllabub, which is a wine-curdled cream, and maybe other stuff like sugar and spices and citrus zest. Back to that linguistic confusion. In Italian, the word cantuccio was in use by like the 1690s to refer to pretty much what we understand this product to be today.
Yes. And then more confusion. Okay, so the first known written recipe for biscotti was a recipe hundreds of years old, discovered in the 18th century, but it's often written about as though, like, the recipe was lost centuries ago and rediscovered, like, around now. So, like, it was lost twice. But after this rediscovery, Italians started adding all kinds of ingredients and flavors to this biscotti.
Mm-hmm. By the mid-1800s, biscotti had become, like, a cultural symbol again in Italy. They were part of an Italian display at the 1867 Paris Expo. And then moving into the 1900s, that's when Tuscany in particular started really, like, re-leaning into the almond thing as an ingredient.
Right. And then, jumping ahead, the 1990s is when biscotti started to really find a place in the heart of Americans. It really coincided with the growing American taste for gourmet coffee, cafes, and the desire to have something to dunk into that gourmet coffee.
Yeah. And the, I mean, the like Italian-ness of espresso and all of that kind of like cultural adaptation that was going on at that time. Yeah, Gourmet Magazine declared biscotti the cookie of the 90s as of 1992. And there was this really great lead in the Washington Post at the time. The writer said, "In the beginning, there were donuts to complement coffee. Next came muffins, huge muffins. Then there was a brief flurry of scones. Now from Italy comes biscotti."
A flurry of scones.
Brief flurry. Of scones.
Very brief. Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
You've got a good 1990s.
I do.
Media quote about biscotti too.
Yes, I was not expecting to find this one, and I just had to include it. It does include some pronunciations that I'm gonna do my best.
Okay. Here we go.
Yes. All right. So here we go. With this quote from 1993 from the New York Times. And it was specifically about a biscotti variation called the San Martino biscotti. Quote, "The author of Il Folklore Siciliano wrote that biscotti di San Martino were originally phallic in shape and descended from the phallus-shaped focaccia carried in the Greek-dominated Sicilian town of Enna during the Thesmophoria, a fertility festival in honor of Demeter. These Sicilian cookies were originally an irreverent reminder of the member of San Martino," Mrs. Field says. "At some point over the centuries, the biscotti took on a female form. As for the horns, they may be reminders," Mrs. Field says, "of the horns that rambunctious boys would paint on deserving houses during St. Martin's revelries on the Italian mainland." Now, that took a lot of turns, didn't it?
That certainly did.
I'm just an innocent food podcaster, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah, and then...
It's a bunch of left turns.
Yeah, left turn at Sicily for sure in that one.
Yes.
I mean, cool. I mean,
yeah.
You know?
It's just funny.
Things look like things, and we have talked many times before about how... desserts, especially during festivals, especially, wind up being interestingly shaped.
They sure do, Laura. They sure do.
Oh, heck. I'm always like, exactly how PG are we? Oh, heck. Oh, dear. Well, anyway, in 2011, a group of Tuscan Cantucci producers formed up an association and started to campaign to receive like a protected geographic indication for almond biscotti. And they finally succeeded in 2016.
Yeah. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. Yeah, this has been quite the journey, the biscotti story. But I'm sure you listeners have some thoughts about this one, so I really want to hear in.
Yeah. If this is like also a nostalgic product for you in some way, or some similar cookie is, then please do write in.
Yes, please do. But in the meantime, that is what we have to say about biscotti for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsors.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener
Mail. Like a hug.
Oh, yeah.
Aww. Nostalgic biscotti hug. Ooh, speaking of, Christine wrote, I just listened to your episode on juice boxes and oh, the nostalgia. Huh. They were a huge part of my childhood in Australia in the 80s and 90s as well. They have been a staple in Australian lunchboxes since then, particularly as you can freeze them so you get an ice brick. Hmm. My fondest recollections are the arguments over what they should be called. At National Girl Guide events, it was always a shock to discover other states called them different names. In New South Wales, for instance, we called them papas. Victorians and Tasmanians called them primas. Queenslanders called them goldies, after Golden Circle, the manufacturer, while Western and South Australians were very boring and tended to call them juice cartons. I have it on good authority that the arguments continue at guide and scout events. I love it. It's true.
Right?
These like little linguistic differences.
Yeah. That really perpetuate. And like people look at you so weird.
Yes. so strange. Like, what are you talking about? I love it. I love how juice cartons is just one. That's great. That's so good.
I mean, why not? It's.
Very smart to use them as a ice block.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Heck.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Jan, or have we been pronouncing this wrong the whole time? Is it Jan? You let us know. Anyway, he wrote, back in 2013, my husband and I made our first trek to Disney World. Our travel agent got us a great rate at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, so we grabbed it. Downstairs, in the Jumbo House portion of the lodge, there is a fantastic place called Boma. It's a Moroccan tangine restaurant, and we had no idea it was there because no one told us during our entire stay, and it's basically hidden. The night before we were to leave, we found it. This place is wonderful. It's an all-you-care-to-eat buffet of glorious food of African origin. Remind me to send you their nut-encrusted salmon recipe. It's wonderful. Anyway, we fell in love with the food from this restaurant so much that we bought a book called Easy Tangine when we got back home. We just happened to run across it at Sur La Table. Yes, this is the letter where I am dropping all kinds of free advertising from these places because they're amazing. My husband and I basically cooked tangine and Moroccan food for months. This book has the following harissa recipe, which I live by. And attached, yes, is an amazing sounding harissa recipe.
Yes, 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 yes. And I have been to this restaurant many times. It is one of my favorites as well.
Is that the one that you brought me and our buddy Sarah to that one time?
I believe so.
I think so.
Because it's a must. Holly Fry, a friend of the show, turned me onto it and was like, you got to go for brunch and you got to get the watermelon rind salad. And of course, ooh. I'm like, yes, you know everything about this. So mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
I did. And now, yeah, it's a delicious must. So much food, though. Oh, my God. It's an endeavor.
Yeah. I think we were there for dinner, and I don't think it was a buffet. I don't think we did a buffet. But I remember all the food that we had in the parks actually being very good, which is weird to me because, like, my experience as a child was not that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But, yeah.
Hard same. But, yeah, it is delicious, and this cookbook sounds delicious, and I want to make all of these things now. Oh, yeah.
I've recently been going back through our friend Hawa Hassan's book In Bibi's Kitchen that we talked with mm-hmm. her on the show about, and doing some recipes from that. And they're all so good.
Yes.
So good.
Yes. Well, thanks for all the recommendations, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to both of these listeners for writing. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.